Welcome to the Broadcast Dialogue Podcast, the show all about the media industry in Canada.
This episode of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast, brought to you by Steve Gorman Rocks, now available in Canada. The influential drummer for the Black Crowes and storyteller extraordinaire will engage your listeners while April Rose provides video and social content. Learn more at MomentumMediaNetworks.com. The Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, the independent organization that establishes standards for Canada's private broadcasters, is seeking a younger perspective. On this episode of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast, we talked to CBSC Chair Sylvie Courtemanche about the need for younger adjudicators, what Canadians are complaining about, and the new standard for closed captioning in Canada.
My name is Sylvie Courtemanche, and I am the chair of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, and I've been here since January of 2018, just about to start my third year. I have almost 30 years of experience in the communications industry. I started at the CRTC, and from there went on to private industry. I was executive vice president with the Canadian Association of Broadcasters, but I've worked as both a consultant, and I was 13 years at Corus as vice president of regulatory and government relations. So been around a long time.
Let's start by talking about where things are at in terms of how the complaint process has evolved at the CBSC. Are there any trends that you see emerging in terms of the type and frequency that Canadians are complaining about?
Yes, I would say that one of the biggest trends that we're seeing is relates to news, and especially fake news, accuracy in reporting. And the other trend we're seeing is iPhones. People are citizen reporters, so they'll send in an iPhone clip or a video clip they get from their iPhone or whatever handheld device they use, and they provide that clip to the news station, and the news station is starting to incorporate this kind of footage into its news reporting. And sometimes we've had more and more incidences of these, and sometimes we see sort of violent images or things that will upset the television audience. So I would say that the news is our predominant issue now, and it's getting more just as a result of social media campaigns, and people believe that there's a lot of misinformation that is being broadcast. So that's an interesting trend. So both fake news and video footage that's used, that citizens provide to the news services and those being broadcast, that's generating quite a bit of complaints. That's something different from the past, for sure.
So is this resulting in an overall higher volume of complaints that you're reviewing?
In that area, not overall volume. I would say the volume is fairly steady, but the percentage within that volume is gravitating more towards news.
In terms of regional complaints, there was a very interesting incident recently here in BC revolving mm-hmm. around one specific talk show host.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is that one complaint resulted in an overwhelming percentage of complaints for the year where British Columbia was concerned. Can you talk a little bit about that?
And that's, we call that complaints going viral. It's a viral complaint where, an issue happens on a particular program that just snowballs. And it's happened many times in the past, not just in British Columbia, but, in Ontario and Quebec and elsewhere, where, an issue gets very significant media coverage, and there's, whether it's a Facebook campaign or an email campaign, but it just snowballs, and it just generates a what we call a viral complaint. It just goes, and so it's happened several times in the past. This is not the first time. This just happened to happen in British Columbia. Where there's an issue, where there are people that have many people have a a common interest. It's not unusual that will happen. And in this case, it was it generated interest from a specific ethnic community, and a lot of people felt strongly about it. But like I say, that's happened before.
Is this idea of viral complaints becoming more frequent?
It's been happening it started a few years ago through email campaigns or Facebook campaigns. It's relatively new, maybe the last 6 or 7 years, where it's really, happened more significantly. It's not, I wouldn't say we get a large number, but it's occurrence, it happens. We've had email, viral complaints where we had, in excess of 6,000 complaints on the same issue. So it depends. If it generates those kind of, like I say, email campaigns or a Facebook campaign, where people say, go to the CBSE website, please make your views known, it'll happen. Whether it's going to happen more in the future, hard to say, but we can't really anticipate the frequency, and we can't anticipate the issue that's going to generate this kind of interest. It just happens.
Is there a particular region where complaints are trending up?
No, I would say that there's no particular region where I would say, there's a spike in interest. It's not so much the region as much as the issue itself that will, create a spike.
Right now, you're seeking younger CBSE adjudicators. I want to talk about what the ideal adjudicator is. Who is that person, and why it's coming up that you need some younger influence there?
Well, the ideal adjudicator is someone who's over 18, first of all. That person needs to be somebody that's interested in the broadcasting environment or communications in general, and how, whether it's music or news or, any type of program, where there's an interest in, what's going on and how people are being informed and entertained, quite frankly. What's changing is that both TV and radio is trying to, as our demographic gets older, they are trying to target, the 18 to 34, the 25 to 54. But as these new audience and demographics are getting younger, we do see an evolution in standards, how people perceive, like hip-hop songs, It's very hard for me to determine whether if I'm going to have a panel or an adjudicator on a hip-hop song. I want to make sure that I have an adjudicator that is part of the target demographic, that they get what's going on. They will have a different perspective than somebody who's over 55 on a hip-hop song in particular. So, and as hip-hop is growing, hip-hop and R&B and that kind of music is growing way faster than rock music. It is the new trend. And in new shows, the way, news is reported, like I said, there are videos that are coming out from the community that are being incorporated into newscasts. That's something new, or fairly new. Before it was only news operations that created video footage. But with those kinds of changes, a young person will get that somebody is, seeing an event, a news event, and they will send it into the news station. They'll get that dynamic. And so as, demographics change and, people's standards or how they perceive things change, I need to have those people around the table. And that's why I'm looking for some younger people.
What's the average age of a CBSE adjudicator right now?
I'm comfortable in saying it's over 40, average. Yeah, and, probably closer to 50. So in that kind of an environment, I do have younger adjudicators, but I'd like to bring it back or have a greater selection of people that are, 18 plus or 18 to 34 is really what I'm looking for.
And this applies to every province.
Every province, every region, and in all racial, whether minorities and communities, that is what we're looking for. It's not just, people who live in urban areas, but we'd love to have younger people who live in rural areas or smaller regions, maritimes, everywhere.
You're also looking for news people from small and medium markets. Can you talk about some of the perceived conflicts that have been coming up in certain adjudications?
Well, if we have we cannot, obviously, somebody who, if you're part of a broadcast news operation and there's a complaint lodged against your news program, obviously we can't have an adjudicator from, the same broadcast group. So we look for people that are from various groups. So in many cases, we have, because of larger broadcasters that are nationally based, then, often case we do have conflicts. And so we are looking for adjudicators that have journalistic backgrounds and are from the smaller regions, because then it's easier to avoid a conflict. And like I say, we're looking for all regions in Canada. We have quite a few from the prairies that I've managed to secure through when I go to the WAB. So I've picked up a few adjudicators from the prairies, but from BC and Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes would be great if we could get more.
In terms of other issues that fall under your domain, Sylvie, do you want to talk about the ongoing progress where live captioning is concerned?
Yes, I'd love to. The Commission recently, on August 30th, issued its new policy on live captioning and the standards that are going to apply to live captioning. And as part of the CBSE's mandate, we are now overseeing the certification process for the NER evaluators. Those are the people who will determine whether the broadcasters are indeed meeting the new NER guidelines. And in that respect, we've been asked to establish an advisory council that will oversee the certification process. And we've also been asked to launch a website that is going to be fully accessible to the deaf and hard of hearing community. And I just wanted everybody to know that the initial meeting of the NER Advisory Council occurred recently, earlier in October. And we've we've accepted the certification of all the NER evaluators that were part of the NER trials. And we've also accepted the certification of the first round of, or the following phase of NER certification is going to occur at the end of November. And the reason this is important is that the new NER guidelines are going to become conditions of license as of the 1st of March 2020. And there are a number of independent broadcasters out there that are looking for people who have been certified as NER evaluators who can come in and either work in-house or work freelance in order to do these NER evaluations that are required to be filed with the commission. And what I wanted to alert everybody is that the next cohort that's coming out at the end of November, like I say, they will be certified and available for freelance and for independent broadcasts. So the problem that I'm having is that the NER website that we are going to be launching won't be ready by the end of November. We have some issues. We have to do some ASL interpretation, and it's a fairly technical process to make a fully accessible website available. So I wanted everybody to know that if you're an independent broadcaster and you're looking for somebody who will be able to do NER evaluations for you, just call the CBSC, and we will be happy to provide you with the names and the contact information. We do have one name so far, but we should have about 10 more by the end of November. So our phone number is 1-866-696-4718. So if you call us, we'll provide you with that information. And I just wanted to make that public, because I know that there are some people that are worrying about that right now.
In terms of how live captioning is progressing, I know this was a challenge for almost all of the broadcasters. Has all of that been ironed out now?
Well, according to the Commission's new broadcasting policy that was issued at the end of August 30th, yes, there's a new standard. It's called the NER Guidelines, and this is how live captioning will be assessed in Canada. And that started in September. it's an expectation, but it's going to become a condition of license as of March 1st. So yeah, there's a new standard. Now, whether the broadcasters meet this new standard, we won't know right away, but there's a new way of determining whether live captioning is adequate or not in Canada.
Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on, Sylvie?
Just appreciate everybody's continuing support of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, and thank you for your interest as well.
Thank you. Our thanks to CBSC Chair Sylvie Courtemanche. For more information on the CBSC, head to cbsc.ca. For Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast, I'm Connie Thiessen.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.